It is very good afternoon. It's Niall Boylan with you for the next hour or so. Now, you can't help but pick up any of the papers today and notice what the headline is. And it's all about, of course, the reports that have been out over the last 2 days in relation to the sexual abuse in Irish schools. And I suppose the headline in The Independent sums it up. Molested, stripped naked, raped and drugged. Shocking testimonies detailed in a report on alleged sexual abuse in religious schools. And it goes on to say, four chapters in the shocking 700-page report on historical sexual abuse at schools, religious schools in Ireland, start with a content warning. These chapters, by far the most harrowing and the most distressing, are the accounts from those who endured and survived extreme sexual violence and abuse in day in boarding schools across Ireland. The scale of the sexual abuse that's been revealed in the Landmark report published yesterday is staggering. The report, which was written by the senior counsel Mary O'Toole, contacted 73 religious orders that ran or are still running schools in Ireland. I'm interesting to note, by the way, the school that I went to is mentioned there, and there was one allegation or four allegations against one particular religious order teacher, and I can tell you now I know exactly who that was. Over 40 had records of historical sexual abuse allegations across 22 counties in Ireland, and the report said the sexual abuse happened between the 1960s and the early 1990s, with the biggest and highest number of reported incidents occurring in the early to mid-70s. The report also revealed a troubling high prevalence of alleged abuse in special schools, with 17 special schools recording 590 allegations involving 190 abusers or alleged abusers. After combing through the records, the report found that 42 religious orders had combined records of almost 2,400 allegations of sexual abuse. Isn't that horrendous to even think about that figure? In 308 schools. Now, by the way, if you're interested in the schools involved, and this is just the tip of the iceberg, if you ask me, if you go onto the Irish Independent or you go onto the Journal, you go onto any of the newspapers today, the online reports today, you will see there's a link there, and it links to a report with a list of every single school and how many allegations and how many abusers. Now, it doesn't name them, obviously, because they're only allegations at this stage because nobody's been actually convicted. Some of those, I say 50% of them, are actually dead already. Some of the stories are difficult to read in the report, and of course, this is not the first report of abuse in Irish schools over the years, and we've already paid out millions in compensation to victims from previous reports and cases taken. The previous redress scheme, as far as I remember, had a time limit on it as well for people. I think it was 2 years at the time. Now, I mentioned this to a caller on the radio last night about redress, and we were talking about it generally. And he said to me, what about the non-sexual violence perpetrated by these animals of teachers for years against, you know, many boys and girls who still live with the mental and physical scars that they received, you know, from that abuse? And he said, because of that, many, he himself talked about the fact that he hated school because he was constantly physically abused when he went into school. And he said it destroyed his education and his opportunities in life, and he believes he should be compensated for that. He suggested anybody physically or sexually abused should be compensated by the state, and that they were well aware of what was going on, but did nothing about it until they made it illegal in 1982. Not the sexual abuse, obviously, the physical abuse, corporal punishment. And the government said they are determined that any redress scheme for survivors of historical sexual abuse in schools will involve substantial contributions from the religious orders. Good luck with that. A redress scheme has not yet been agreed, but speaking on Tuesday, Norma Foley, the Minister for Education, said the religious orders should be prepared to pay part of the bill. Where have we heard that before? Bertie Ahern desperately tried, didn't he, many years ago, to get them to pay for the Magdalen laundries and the mother and baby home. That didn't really happen, did it? They paid a few quid, but not very much. But here's the question I'm asking today. There is no doubt, I believe, and everybody would agree, that redress needs to be paid to all those who were sexually abused. But what about the physical abuse, which in some parts was a lot worse than what happened to some of those who were sexually abused as well? Some people were literally tortured, their lives destroyed, their educations destroyed, their opportunities in life destroyed by the physical abuse they got in schools, which was kind of the norm at the time. Should there be compensation paid out to people? Some people believe there should. I want to know what you think. The number is 085-122-55. That's 085-122-55. I want to go to Ian O'Doherty, who's a journalist with the Irish Independent. Ian, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Al. How are you?
Another harrowing report on Ireland's kind of dark, dirty secrets and past. I mean, it's just, it's almost on a yearly basis. Another report about something else that we did wrong
well,
in the past.
This is the thing. It's like what we've been reading over the last hour or so, and there were a couple of early reports about it as well. It's deeply, deeply shocking, but it's not in the least bit surprising.
No.
I mean, this is Ireland's great shame. Mm. And what really enrages me is we've been here so often before. and nothing ever really got done.
No.
You know, and it's, and what worries me is that we get into the realms of almost sort of the law of diminishing returns, where people sort of go, oh yeah, so this is more of the same old, same old. It's not. I mean, these are people we're talking about. These are individual lives that were ruined, that then went on to cause further dysfunctional families and sort of intergenerational trauma, all these kind of things that you expect to hear from a third world society.
Yeah.
And there are, you know, there are people, you know them, I know them, all of your listeners will know them. There are people who are still broken by the experience that they had in school.
I've interviewed many of them over the years,
yeah,
who were sexually abused. And I'm sure some people will come on today and talk about their trauma and what happened to them. So where do you go from here, Ian? Now, obviously they haven't named these teachers. Many of them are dead, by the way, so they'll never get to see a day in court. But, like, obviously the government are now talking about a redress scheme. Now, they did have a previous redress scheme, and there was obviously claims for compensation put in previously for school sexual abuse, but there was a time limit, I think, of 2 years, if I remember rightly, on that. So they're going to reopen that again now, I imagine. But they're looking for, obviously, the church or the religious orders to give a few quid towards it, which I can't see happening, by the way. It doesn't tend to happen. So the state end.
Well, the church just lawyers up.
Yeah.
And what they do, and they have form in this, is that they basically, particularly with the older cases, they wait until the person's dead. And the state, here's the thing, it's not enough just to blame the religious orders, because disgustingly and sickeningly, there is lots of blame to go around. There is enough blame for the religious orders, there is enough blame for the state, there is enough blame, and this is something as well that's never really spoken about. I think yourself and myself have mentioned it briefly before. There was a reason why, when I was a kid, my parents threatened with sending me to the Madonna house. There was a reason why, when you were a kid, your parents threatened to send you to Arcane.
Yeah.
Everybody knew. And one of the things that really, really annoys me is when you get people turning around, lay people and parents and stuff, going, God, we didn't know. Oh, yes, you did.
Of course. No, my father, on a regular basis, if we were bold, myself and my brother, he would turn around and say to us, now, give it up now, or you're going down to Arcane Boys' School. So they did, yeah. So collectively, they knew that certain schools had a reputation for abusing children or treating them badly.
Yeah, and I mean, these for some kids, they weren't going to a school; they were going to a torture chamber. And like, everybody has their own horror story, or everybody has their own war stories. And I know, I mean, the thing is, it's not just sexual abuse or physical abuse. A lot of the time, it was sexual and physical.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, it was violence. I mean, when you read some of these stories in this report, I mean, some of the stories are outrageous of, you know, Christian Brothers drugging children, literally, or going bed to bed at night in some of the boarding schools. I mean, some of it's outrageous. And, you know, and the violence against them, as well as the sexual abuse, as you mentioned there a few minutes ago. But here's the thing. I remember ringing up, I was doing a topic on the air similar to this on the radio going back about 5 years ago. And I found a phone number from my original primary school teacher, who was an absolute bollocks. I mean, this guy would, you know, he had a reputation in the school for, you know, not just six of the best, but whatever way he felt like dealing with it, he would deal with it. So I rang him up, and he was in his 80s. And I said, look, do you want to come on the air and talk about it, why you did it? And he went, nah, you're all right. And I said, but why did you do it? And he said, everybody else was doing it. And that was his argument. That was genuinely his argument, that the reason he did it and thought he could get away with it was everybody else was doing it.
Yeah, but the thing is, Niall, everybody else wasn't doing it. That's why we remember teachers that we felt safer with than we felt with other teachers. And it wasn't a case that they were all sadistic psychopaths. The case was that there were too many of them who were. And one of the things that, one of the people, or cohorts of people who never get blamed, is there were two particularly predatory priests in the school that I went to. And In a weird way, you can't blame them because they were predators. It's like blaming the wolf for attacking the sheep. The wolf is just doing what a wolf does. They're a sick monster. But I remember, in a weird way, blame more the teachers, the lay teachers, who used to warn some of us not to be allowed, not to find ourselves staying in the same room as them. in the same empty class.
So they knew. Yeah, so they knew what was going on. These are no different to the bishops who knew the priests were abusing children in the churches.
Yeah, yeah. And the gas thing is, these lay teachers and a couple of them who'd said to me, don't ever allow yourself to be left in the same dressing room as such and such or as such and such. Now, they probably went home and felt that they'd done the right thing and that they'd done a good job, right? But those teachers who said it to me, the rugby coaches said it to me, they didn't say it to all the kids. Mm. You know?
Yeah.
So, in a weird way, there's a greater moral culpability against those people who knew that what was going on was profoundly wrong and evil. And they thought that just by warning a kid that they liked, that somehow they were doing their moral duty. And in a strange way, I find that, in a weird way, even more reprehensible than some psychosexual sadist who's just acting out in their own fantasies that they find.
And you know what? There's nothing now we can do about that, because they only changed the Criminal Justice Act in 2012 to address that very problem when we had the school or the church abuse to the Cloyne, the Murphy and all the other reports about priests and bishops who knew what was going on but did nothing about it. So they weren't culpable because it wasn't in the Irish criminal justice books. So we changed that in 2012, that if you now know of a situation where a child is in a dangerous situation, that you must report it by law. They didn't have to, by law, report it. That was the problem.
No, and it's when you start picking, there's a lot of things about Ireland that we can be sort of collectively very happy with. You know, I mean, we're a very popular country around the world. We've a lot of things that are going for us, and we shouldn't be constantly beating ourselves up all the time. But when it comes to this issue, we really should be, because, and it's one of the things that when you abuse a kid in school or when you beat a kid in school, and there's a friend of mine, he killed himself a couple of years ago, but he still literally had the scars on his back from the beatings that he got when he was 9 and 10 years old. Literally the scars, but he carried the emotional scars as well, which meant he had an incredibly dysfunctional life. And he is one example of tens of thousands of people. When you beat or abuse a kid in school, it doesn't stay as a beaten or abused kid. And when they leave school, everything is hunky-dory. They carry that with them. And that ripple effect, it's like throwing a big rock into a pond. The ripple effect carries on with the people they marry, with the friendships that they have, with the children that they give birth to. And I do think it's our greatest collective sin, because as a society, everybody has their share of the blame to carry, you know, and that's something, there's no getting away with it, whether it's the older members of my family. My dad wasn't really on the scene, but my mother and my auntie and stuff saying, we'd send you to Madonna House. It's stuff like that. They knew what was going on, but of course they would consider people.
But who's responsible? You know, are we all responsible? Collectively, are we responsible? Because you say the parents knew, and rightly so. Now, I don't know if my dad knew the extent of what was going on in R10 school, but just knew the kids were treated pretty badly there. I'm sure he didn't know they were being raped or sexually abused.
No, but they probably wouldn't have known the grisly details, because they only came out in subsequent reports. But there's a reason
the state knew as well. The state didn't care, because the state just pawned off education to, you know, the religious orders, generally speaking, because, sure, they're doing a good job, it'd be grand, just give them a few quid and be fine. State didn't care.
Yeah, and there's one of the things that we've learned over the last few years that's interesting, is that when all of this hideousness began to come to light, there was a genuine sense that, and it was a misconception, that this was just happening to the children of the poor who were ended up in industrial schools and things of that. As we've seen, actually, it was happening to kids across the board.
Oh, yeah.
From the
Blackrock College and the
fee paying schools, you know. Yeah. But the interesting thing is that a friend of mine, he was in Terenure, and he was one of the named people who went against the rugby coach in Terenure, McLean. And it's all, you know, a matter of public record. And this guy was found guilty. And
yeah, I think I interviewed him actually recently. Yeah, your friend.
Sorry?
I think I interviewed your friend recently, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, he thought he was going to get closure.
Yeah.
And he hasn't really, because he knows that justice is done. So on a logical level, he knows that justice is done, but it didn't bring him the sense of relief that he was hoping that it would, because basically the pain is still there, because the pain is never going to go away. And one of the things I find when it comes down to the abuse, be it physical or sexual, it's the burning sense of humiliation that people carry through for the rest of their life. Of why didn't I do something? Why didn't I stand up? Was it my fault? Or why didn't my family stand up for me? Or and just that sense of abandonment that they then find very hard to shake the older they get. And it's all very well, you know, we're clever people and we're far more open about these things than we used to be. So it's all very well to sort of intellectualize it and go, it wasn't your fault. It was, you know, there's no shame on you. We can say that until the cows come home, but there's lads I know who are aware of that on an intellectual level, but on an emotional level, they can't shake that. They can't, and that's a burden that they will have to carry. But the thing about it is that when it comes to restitution, I mean, the state, as we've seen, the church, for all their weasel words of, you know, remorse and regret and stuff like that, they're the ones with the good lawyers on speed dial.
Yeah.
To put a firewall up against them and maybe having to sell their rugby pitches to try and pay back the victims of whose lives they have destroyed. So, and how far back then do you go as well? You know, I mean, it's it's an incredibly complicated issue. And I'm not saying that these people don't deserve restitution. Of course they do, and they need to get it. But this is where the only people who are going to walk away from this benefiting in any way will be the legal system.
Do you think, in relation to redress, just finally, Ian, you know, because that's what the conversation today, obviously Norma Foley has addressed and said the church should be part of that redress, etc., etc. And many people are also saying now, well, you know, well, some of it didn't contain sexual violence, some of it was just violence. Do you think everybody should be compensated who was the victim of violence or sexual violence in schools pre-1982, particularly, of course, when corporal punishment was outlawed completely? Do you think everybody should be compensated, or there should be redress there?
Well, this is where you get into an interesting legal territory, because pre-1982, it wasn't a crime. You know, I mean, and we all grew up with, you know, getting the
ladder. Assault was still a crime. Physical assault was still a crime.
You know,
it was just they had a kind of waiver, didn't they? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and but the thing is, I mean, I remember getting the ladder in the Christian Brother primary school that I went to. And, like, under any rational metric, a celibate man in his 50s taking his sexual frustrations out by hitting a 10-year-old boy in the palm of his hand as hard as he could with a stick, that's assault. Yet it wasn't criminal assault. It was just, you know, awful punishment.
I accept that teachers, you know, took out the ruler and gave you six of the best for not doing your homework. But we're not talking about them, because most of them did that anyway. That was kind of common practice, right? We're talking about the ones who went a step further, you know, who, I remember I had a woodwork teacher and he threw a chisel at a fellow one day and split him open. You know, I had a mechanical drawing teacher who used the T-square to bait you across the back of the head. You know, I had a Christian brother who used to grab you by the hair, your lock, and drag you around the class, you know, and then slap
all
you across
the
face.
The classics, I think. So, almost as if there was a module in Christian Brother teacher training school that, you know, went, okay, and now today, kids, we're going to be learning torture techniques.
Yeah.
You know, but again, it's like when you say that there has to be a line, that almost sounds as if you're somehow letting the abusers off the hook, or you're not given proper sympathy and a desire for retribution.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, when you say corporal punishment was allowed under the law before 1982, I'm sure there was a definition in law. Or there had to have been. I don't know, maybe in the statute book somewhere. Like, for example, when a parent was allowed to chastise a child up to 2019, it was for cause reasonable chastisement, right? So the word reasonable was in there. You know, it's not reasonable to bait somebody with a T-square. It's not reasonable to clatter a person across the face or grab them by the ears or pull them around the classroom. It was probably reasonable to get a ruler to give them six slaps on the hand. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, and the problem with that as well, though, is that, I mean, a lot of laws defined by precedent, and there would have been no precedent pre-82 of a teacher being held up against the court. So, I mean, I think it's, you know, you're into really legally, not morally, but you're into very legally difficult territory. Mm. Again, we're looking at, like, some of the stories of physical abuse are, I mean, they're
outrageous.
They're almost incomprehensible, except for the fact that so many of us, if we didn't endure it, we witnessed it. And one of the things that I remember from being a kid, and like, I mean, I was lucky, but I remember the burning humiliation of seeing a pupil being humiliated. And it became a shared humiliation, you know, and there'd be a part of you that was just glad that it wasn't you today, but it could be you tomorrow. And, you know, and it's just, it's corrosive to the soul, you know. And I do think it's an impact that still lasts and lingers today. And for all the things about our schools now, they've become so wishy-washy and weak and child-centric and all that. And yeah, and there are times when it's like that. But I'd still prefer that to the way it was.
Absolutely. You know? Well, look, sorry, Ian, go ahead.
Sorry, but what I was going to say is that you and me, we're knocking on, we're around the same age, right? And we probably got the last dying end of dying sting of the wasp, but it's what our parents would have gone through. Would have been so much worse, you know. And but again, the worst perpetrator, this, as you alluded to earlier, I mean, they're pretty much all dead now anyway, you know.
I know, even in this report, they say 50% of those allegations or the abusers are dead, 50%. So it's a high number. And I imagine, you know, the rest are probably in their 80s, you know. I know my primary school teacher is still alive, just about, I believe. Anyway, listen, Ian, thank you very much indeed, and I appreciate you coming on the air to discuss that.
All right, cheers.
Thank you very much. Ian O'Doherty, the Irish Independent. Let me go to Tom as well, if I can. Tom, hi, how are you?
Hello, how are you?
Tom, now, reading this report over the last couple of days, I'm sure you've been watching it, because I know you've been on about it for many years. But reading these reports must have brought it all back to you, because it kind of vindicates everything you've been saying.
Yeah, but not only that, I couldn't even read it, to be honest, I had to stop.
Yeah.
Because I know already anyway, so rereading that, it was just, like, I always had the kind of hope what happened to me, and I was kind of naive, didn't happen to anybody else.
And when was it, Tom? When were you abused? When was it?
The early 80s.
The early 80s.
So okay. It was just at the end of it, like, and the thing that I can't excuse is the likes of Norma Foley and these ministers turning around saying they're shocked and that this and that. And
yeah, it's mind-blowing, isn't it? Consider people like you and others have been talking about it for years.
Considering that she wouldn't answer the question, and I know why she wouldn't answer the question about getting onto the Catholic Church for putting money back into this. Simply asking them that is absolutely, that's disgusting for a start. Like, these are crimes for a start. So the crimes, apart from anything else, and people that I know it was normalised, it doesn't matter. They were crimes against the most vulnerable kids that the country had. And not only that, I think it was 2014, now I might be wrong, I'm not sure what year it was, but when it came out first with Christine Buckley.
Mm-hmm. I remember the story,
When that all broke, for a start, people or organisations like the Guards, they all have a lot to answer for. But during that process, the Irish government signed an indemnity with the Catholic Church, indemnifying them from anything further, any other historical abuses. So I can't see why Norma Foley won't admit that the government signed an indemnity. I think it was either 2012, 2014, they signed an indemnity indemnifying the Catholic Church as a whole from any further.
But didn't they, in the previous compensation they gave out, they put a time limit of 2 years, I think, on it, if I remember rightly.
Yeah, they put a time limit on it of 2 years, and what they did, that was absolutely, that was that redress board. And see, that's one thing that I have a severe problem with as well, because that's really going to re-traumatise people, because the people I spoke to that went through that, their lives were shattered.
Were you in a public school, Tom, or a private school?
Public.
Okay.
Public, it was Christian Brothers. Yeah. I've been emailing. So from back to 2015, I'm a child advocate. Obviously, from the upbringing I had, I've got this sense of I want to protect every child.
Yeah.
I know it sounds weird.
No, I understand exactly what you mean.
Since 2012, that's all I've done is kind of advocate for children in my area, with a different range of things now, not just abuse, anything that they would have problems with. So. But what I found since then is, I was very naive. Like, so I thought that you tell somebody something so serious that they would like, oh, geez, something has to be done about this. And the total opposite happens. Not only is it whitewashed, what happens is if you persist with government ministers or you persist with the likes of Tusla. Like, I've been on to Tusla. I've been on to everybody I can, screaming from the rafters that there needs to be an investigation into any school that was run by the Catholic Church. Because if they think, like, you have to think of it rationally. If you, Golden Bridge and all these other homes, the actual Magdalen homes and everything else, run by the Catholic Church, if you think that they stopped their abuse just there, mm-hmm. you, these are, like, and look, paedophiles don't just stop. Paedophiles don't just, they're opportunistic. And that's, mm-hmm. people have to start being real, and they have to start using uncomfortable language
questions. Ian mentioned, Tom, sorry for interrupting you, but Ian mentioned there a few minutes ago that everybody knew at the time, right? And I remember even though I went to De La Salle College in Raheny, right? And that was named in the report today, by the way. There was one abuser and I think four allegations or something like that. It was named in the report. But I remember when I started in the school, like I still remember when I was 12 or 13 years of age, other students and teachers talking about a certain Christian brother, don't walk down the stairs in front of him.
Be careful around him.
Those kind of stories. And he had a nickname because of those stories. So everybody kind of knew that this guy was a weirdo, he was a creep, and probably a paedophile. I don't want to name it because I don't know if it's the right one I'm thinking.
Still allowed to give access to the most vulnerable children. Now, and that's that separation of state and church. And unfortunately, look, we've had very weak people in governments, obviously, and I'm not just talking now. Back then, people knew it was going on. They knew it was going on and they allowed it. And the reason they allowed it, and this is where Ireland has to get real with itself, not just you'll get the government kind of blaming society. There's one thing that's terrible that the government were blaming society. They came out a couple of years ago and said, well, it was normalised. It's the government's issue. You have to understand as well, the government are tied into all of this and all these other organisations because the government fund every Catholic school. So they should have had oversight. Where were all these school inspections? Why didn't any school inspections ever pick up any of this when it was people knew what was going on?
The Magdalen Lodges. It was convenient for the government to turn around and actually, look, the church will deal with that.
This is one of the things that will always stick, and it sticks in my mind as a survivor. Right now, we're still subhuman. Mm. How would Norma Foley feel? How would she feel if she felt every single day of her life that it was a battle, that she was subhuman, that she thought everybody that could help her thought she's not going to get help because, you know what, you're subhuman. That's how survivors think. That's how raw it is.
Tom, how old were you?
I would have been 7 when it started.
And I don't want to re-traumatise you and take you through the whole thing or anything like that, okay?
There would have been, I specifically mentioned in emails over the years about that you have ask these survivors, or any of them drugged? Because that's what happened.
Oh, that came out in the report. And I was reading some of the stories there this morning, and some of the stories are just horrific. I mean, they were drugged. Not only were they drugged, in some of the boarding schools, these Christian brothers went from bed to bed every single night on a regular basis. I mean,
because they were dormitories. You have to understand, these places weren't like single bedrooms. They were dormitories, so you'd have probably a length of 20 beds either side with a little partition between them. And you'd hear them coming. You know what I mean? You'd hear them coming. And then, like, you try and get help, and you'd ask for help once and you'd get another beating. So I took the kind of line, which probably caused more trouble. I started fighting back. And that's when it just got 10 times worse. Like, you're a child, so you don't understand. You really don't understand. You think, like, you're in these walls and it's horrible. It's absolutely, like, it's just a walk and night. Every minute of your existence is you're hypervigilant. You're just waiting. And that's no way for a child to be hypervigilant. It's shocking. And every child that was abused would be, and still as an adult, hypervigilant. Like, I get triggered by, if I see violence, whereas a lot of survivors would kind of, they'd clam up, or they'd get post-traumatic stress disorder, they wouldn't, they'd get anxious. I go the opposite way. I actually insert myself into that situation and try and stop the violence.
And how old was the guy? Was he an old, the your abuser?
They would have been, like, back then, it wasn't just one. So, they would have been probably in their 40s.
And they were Christian brothers?
And lay staff as well. They were, like, I can't see how it wasn't organised, like, How can, in one country, now you have to understand as well that they're saying there was 980. You have to understand a lot of these survivors are dead now as well, that can't speak. There's a whole lot more. Like the same, the Catholic Church, this is why I'm on this show, because back in 2000, or back when Christine Buckley did this, the Catholic Church was set down with the government and they told them that there was probably, they had to try and quantify it, that, oh, there's probably only about 200, there's actually about 280 children that were, like, the Catholic Church knew. And they turned around and sat down at a table with the government and told them that it's definitely only about 280 kids that this happened to. Yeah. And then we find out it was thousands. They're doing the same thing again.
Every dog in the street knew it had to be thousands. When you think about it logically, you know, everybody of our age group, well, certainly my age group, you're a bit younger than me, Tom, but everybody of our age group knew there was sexual abusers in the school or physical abusers.
Of course.
So if it was every school, there had to be thousands. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. But I can't see what redress schemes do. What the redress scheme did the last time, because I was engaging with all the survivors and stuff like that, it just re-traumatized them. And then you had the head of the redress scheme coming out at the time. I can't think of her name. It's like, imagine, it's bad enough, that situation. I just hope it doesn't happen again. And I hope these words never come out of anybody's mouth that is doing, that is running this, or this commissioner, whoever they are, is. The head girl from Carinua at the time, she was the director of Carinua, when she was brought up in front of the Iraqis, she turned around and said, it's impossible. These people are so damaged, we can't work with them.
If that doesn't make you feel subhuman, nothing would, to be honest.
So the day she said that in the Oireachtas, and nobody pulled her up about it, that these people, they're so, these people, not these survivors, they should be survivors straight away.
That kind of almost makes it all sound like an inconvenience to everybody. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly, it does. But the thing about it is that Ireland has to, the government and the guards as well. I can tell you, I don't know how many times guards came down to where we were. And if you ran away from this place or you tried to do anything, the guards brought you back. I don't know how many hidings I got off a guard. For absolutely none, other than the fact of trying to fight back or trying to help other children. And these guards knew exactly what was going on. They would come up to these places regularly.
I'll tell you what, Tom, you know, because I don't want to be insulting to you, because I don't want to limit your time on the show, because obviously I have to get to a lot of people. But I would love to talk to you in more detail, and maybe we could do something with you and do a separate show or podcast with you in more detail, talking about what happened and what we can do to help others, of course, as well, because that's all part of this. I think all of us talking about it is good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is. And it's, I just hope that what they do, I have absolutely no faith in the government, and obviously I have no faith in the government because I've been dealing with them. But like, I specifically mentioned details of abuse of my own.
Yeah.
Going back to 2015, trying to get, and not for me, I didn't want any heal. I think I'm beyond help now.
By the way, just before you go, Tom, your own abuser, is he still alive?
Two of them are.
And were they ever convicted of anything?
No, they were never convicted. I never made complaints. Because there was, when I was young, I was just met with more of the same. But I did bump into one of them, and that was the greatest day in my life. I happened to bump into one of them.
What'd you say?
I'm 6'2" now. I wasn't when I was a kid. And I bumped into him when I would have been 23, and I had me little daughter with me. And that's the only reason I didn't lose the head. But I was able to stand in front of him, and he didn't recognize me at first. And when I stopped him, I actually stopped him in a Woody's. I was in a home base I was in, actually.
Yeah.
And I stood in front of him, and it was a big man as well. He still was a big man. And I stood in front of him. He had his trolley. He was after paying for, I was actually right behind him in the queue, and he had paid for his shopping and all. It was then I stopped him. So I just told my partner at the time, I said, just go outside and bring Mackenzie with you for a minute. And she was like, what? Because she didn't know anything. I said, just go outside for a minute. I have to do something. And she was like, oh, okay. So when he finished paying for shopping, I left the trolley there. I walked in front of him and I put my hands on his trolley. And I went, there you are now. And he went, hello. And I went, hello. I said, you don't even know who I am, do you? And he went, no. And I mentioned the place and I mentioned my name, and he ran. He actually left the shop in there and he ran out of the shop. I tried to get the reg of his car and everything, and he was gone.
Wow.
So to me, that was like, now. at least I put you into a little, and I know it sounds terrible.
Well, I hope you made his day miserable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I hope he went home and I hope he went home and shit himself thinking that the police were coming for him or something. You know what I mean?
No, but not even that. It was just the fact that I was able to stand and look him eye to eye. That gave me some sense of, right, well, at least I could do something about it now. But that's still at the same point, I wouldn't put my hand on someone because I wouldn't, why inflict that very thing that's wrecked you? Why would you inflict it on someone else?
Well, I don't think much people would have a huge amount of sympathy for him anyway. But listen, Tom, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry for cutting you short.
We'll let you go.
No. It's just that I have other callers to go to. But here's the thing, right? I do want to continue the conversation with you because I think it's a really important conversation. And I know you have a lot to talk about from what I believe. You've been sending emails for years in relation to this and being ignored. And now you've been vindicated because everything you said is actually in this report now. So what I'm saying is I'd like to talk to you more. So we will do a longer interview with you if you're interested in that. And I'd love to talk to you.
I would love that because hopefully it could help somebody.
Yeah.
Or it can give somebody some sense of peace.
Okay, listen, Tom, thank you very much indeed, and I really appreciate you.
Thank you as well. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
By the way, we are talking, of course, about, we were for Ian O'Doherty there, and Tom, we were talking about the reports that have been out, and it is shocking. 2,400 allegations of sexual abuse in 308 schools. It's all printed online. But I mentioned it last night, I was the night before on the radio, and somebody said to me, now, what about the physical violence as well that children were exposed to? Of course, everybody knows that you should be compensated, certainly get redress for the sexual abuse, and people's lives were destroyed by that. But people's lives were also destroyed by physical abuse before corporal punishment came in or was banned in 1982. Should people be compensated for that? This caller believed they should be. Not Tom, obviously, but the caller the other night believed they should be. Let me go to Bernie. Bernie, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
How are you doing, Bernie? It is shocking when you look at the sexual abuse, by the way, which was outrageous. I mean, when you listen to Tom and you listen to other people who've been in that position. And we all kind of knew, well, not saying we all knew, but the society knew what was going on and did nothing.
They must have. Niall, I went to school from 1963 to 1976. And, it was physical punishment all the way.
Mm-hmm.
All men and boys and girls.
Yeah.
And not only that, but it went on in the home as well. It was part of the time of society. That's the way we were in school. It was expected nearly, and you had the dunce's cap on you, and you were put in corners.
Humiliated, you'd be humiliated.
I mean, I was writing with my left hand when I was four, and I was, my hand was shoved down my skirt at the back, and I was forced to write with my right hand until I was 7 years of age. Eventually, I had no choice. I had to concede. And they stay with you for life. The marks on us as mentally and emotionally and physically are there for life. But they made me the person I am now. Thankfully, I wasn't sexually abused. Thank God. I just thank God I wasn't, because I don't know how those people can live with that. And the people who did it to them and perpetrated the crimes, they should be taken out of their graves nearly at this stage and made to pay for what they've done, because they've ruined a life.
I did have a guy on the radio, actually, coincidentally, when you say that, but 7 years ago, and he was sexually abused by a Christian brother. And he was so traumatized by it that he went to the guy's graveyard about 3 or 4 days before he rang me. He went to the guy's graveyard and told us live on the air that he dug him up and he played football with his skull.
Yeah,
that's how badly traumatized he was by what he'd done to him.
But Niall, you know of abuse. We all do. It's in all of us. Is this government, this current government, in their wealth and in their naivety, do they know anything about the people who they're looking after in this nation today? Do they have a clue about what we've all went through over our lives, over our lifetimes? You can't give us any money for it. It is, it's done. It's already done. What can we do?
Mm-hmm.
As a nation, we all knew what was going on. The people ahead of us knew what was going on. They didn't know any better. They came from, they were afraid to put their out of line because of the religious force that they went through. There was, when you think about the mothers not being allowed to be churched after having a baby, there's so much. We could go back forever, but I definitely think the people who are sexually abused need to be acknowledged, and they need to be the people need to be made accountable who are for that, and they need to have some help, and they need money. The likes of us who are physically abused along the way, not every day, but was they are part of our life. We're the people we are now.
Yeah.
That's not going to change you and I. You struggled there. I know you've told us your story. So many people have struggled with so many stories for so long. It's not going to change who we are now. We are who we are. and you have to move forward. But, I mean, calling us all sorts of names today by the new modern people is wrong. They don't know what the past has had to live with.
Mm. But there were so many of these. I can't understand. When I look at the modern world, and I know there are deviants out there and perverts and pedos and all sorts of things out there, but it's a small percentage of people, right? But I can't understand how such a large percentage within an organisation could have been so deviant. Because when I go back to my own school, you know, they like I was in De La Salle College in Raheny, and that was mentioned in the report today, although there's only four allegations against one abuser, right, in the 1970s. But I can remember, I can name four or five Christian Brothers. They're all dead now. And they were all animals. They behaved like wild animals.
No more than I can say the same about some of the nuns we came across and some of the teachers who were lay teachers, what they did to us. Do you know? It was so, when you think about it, like, you know, if you were one of a large family, they were made you feel like, you know, you were poverty stricken and you were like nearly inbred, you know, and it was awful. And you'd have no money and you weren't, you know, you'd have to share books maybe or something. They'd make it belittle you, you know, and like, we all suffered that. I don't think there's anybody out there who got schooling in our time anyway, that went through the system, you know, perfectly saintly and didn't have any untoward thing happen to them.
Listen, thank you very much indeed for that, Bernie. Let me go to Morris as well. Morris, hi, how are you?
Noel, how are you doing? Yeah, listen, I was like yourself. I was in the De La Salle School and Ballyfermot, which has been in the process of being knocked down now. And there's 800 apartments and houses going on for social development, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, horror stories come out of there. But one story that a witness gave in this report absolutely terrified me. And it was about a boarding school. And he witnessed two people coming in. They beat the child unconscious and then the two of them raped them. And he had to witness that. And he's left with the post-traumatic stress order of the rest of his life, what them animals did to that individual. And then that individual, it was a child, was beaten unconscious and forcibly raped by two monsters. You know, Holy Catholic Ireland, my backside, Land of Satan scholars, no, devious monsters who executed children's spirits and souls for sexual gratification.
And these are meant to be messengers of God, you know what I mean?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And like I said to you, they're monsters hiding behind the cloth of what was supposed to be good. Imagine every day your mother and father and my mother and father handled us over to be educated by these elite people in their communities, and they were monsters. Now, there's some good ones out there, as you well know.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There is some good ones. And when I think back on my parents had their first children. My twin sister was born in 1943, and I was their last child born in 1961. And I really think our family was blessed that not one of us was sexually abused. We all got the clatter around the head, and we made sure they didn't go too far. But they'd grown up in Ballyfermot, like yourselves, we knew who the kiddie fiddlers were, and we kept away from them. And we knew how they picked on the vulnerable kids, the quiet kids.
Isn't it mad? But here's the thing. Isn't it mad? You knew.
Yeah.
And we all knew. And as I said to you, when I started, you know, in De La Salle, that was always, oh, keep away from him. He's a bit dodgy, whatever.
Yeah.
So and the teachers knew. Everybody knew. But we didn't do it. If that wouldn't happen now, you know what I mean?
I know. Exactly. No. In those days, the guy, you must have got the belt for a reason. But recently I got sent to me by a friend that I grew up with in school. And he sent me a photograph of her. You know the confirmation class?
Mm, yep.
When you make your confirmation and you get your photograph taken. And I'm looking at all the photographs. And I'm naming the guys I went to school with. And there was one kid. And I said to myself, if any kid is going to get out to Ballyfermot and make an impression on this world, it'll be that kid. And unfortunately, he got raped by a priest. And he turned into a junkie, a drug addict, and a criminal because of what was done to him. His life was ruined. And he's still in an air prison, and he's still on drugs, and he's still robbing.
Wow.
Leaving
aside the sexual abuse, because everybody knows that people should be compensated, of course they should. What about those who experience, you know, serious physical abuse and violence? You know, because some teachers were just animals and when they was dishing out punishment. Should people be compensated for physical abuse?
Well, I'm going to give you what a solicitor will tell you. Can you prove it?
Well, the thing about it is, once you have enough corroborating stories, that's the way these things work. These redress systems work.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, if you have people like what Ian talked about earlier on the show, that his friend had the physical scars on his back from the beatings, and the amount of kids in Ballyfermot that took their own lives because of the abuse, it's horrific. And one thing a survivor said, Niall, about the physical and the sexual abuse, when a priest or a brother got caught in Blackrock, where did they send them as punishment? Ballyfermot.
Out of the frying pan and into the fire, yeah.
It would have sweet chop into the factory.
Yeah. Morris says, thank you for that. Some of the texts, by the way, coming in, somebody says, oh, for Christ's sake, it's time to move on and get over it. We have all acknowledged the wrongs of the past. What more do people want? It's time to move on and stop playing a victim. If you're constantly a victim, you can never heal. That comes in from Declan. Well, Declan, clearly you weren't in that situation. Let me go to Tommy. Tommy, hi, how are you? Tommy, are you there? Hello, Tommy. Okay, Tommy doesn't do that. Angela, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. How are you doing?
Good. What do you want to say, Angela?
Absolutely. Mm. I think absolutely. Anyone who was physically assaulted, physically abused, anything like that in the school. And not just up to 82. This was happening a lot after 82 as well.
Well, it should. Well, you certainly know? The physical abuse shouldn't have been, because they made it illegal in 1982. They kind of had a get out of jail free card when it came to the physical up to 1982. But then they made it illegal.
Yeah. Yeah, it's legal, and I can tell you now, it was happening to me.
Yeah.
It was happening to me when I was in school. It was happening to a lot of people I know that was in school, and a lot worse than what I got. And that was up until the 90s, and some into the 2000s.
Do you think all those, and now leaving aside sexual abuse, because of course those people, those victims should be compensated. Do you think people who were victims even of physical abuse, that was over and above what would have been the accepted norm, which was the slap on the hand? You know what I mean? Do you think those people, you know, should have, who were, you know, hit with leathers and baited around the classroom, should they get compensation?
Niall, I started primary school in 81, and I definitely know up until third class, I was whacked across the knuckles with a ruler. Do you know what I mean? Slapped with a ruler. You know, and that's just me. I know other places, and I've spoke to this before, so I'm not going to say too much. But I know other places where they were beaten. And they were slapped with hurleys.
Mm.
And they were, you know, it's absolutely disgusting. Some of these, and some of people are still traumatised by it and do get triggered by things that come up. And that's because of certain teachers out there. And this isn't just priests. This is lay teachers as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to stand up. They have to stand up and be called out for what they've done to people. Absolutely. It's heartbreaking. You know, this sexual abuse is just terrible. But as you say, you know, physical abuse can be just as traumatising and just as bad.
Yeah, particularly when it was, you know, a lot of them were very violent. They were extremely violent. And there was no point in history where anybody thought that was okay. But they did.
No. Yeah, well, that's the thing. I can remember there was an article came out there recently, and a certain teacher came on saying that in whatever year they were brought down, and like that, they went all through the corporal punishment, you know, all this kind of thing. And basically, he kind of wasn't listening, and he turned around to the teacher and said, so what's all this about? And he goes, basically, do whatever you want.
Mm.
That's what they took from it, and that's what they did, Niall.
Yep.
And that's what they did.
Oh, no, it was a free-for-all. It was they had complete control. It was a complete free-for-all. They could do what they want. They could throw a duster at your head. They could, as I said, I had a woodwork teacher spill a guy open. He threw a chisel at him
make
one day.
Make you eat chalk.
Yeah.
Make you eat paper. Make you, you know, and the other thing, Niall, about this is, it was back in a time, now I can honestly say, I don't think my father ever raised a hand to us. You know, it would be mom with the old wooden spoon, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, she wouldn't leather us, like, you know, just a little tap. And the fear was dad, but he never had to raise a hand to us. But the thing was, if anything happened to you in the school, you were scared to just go home and say it, because they turn around and go, what'd you do?
Yeah, well, that was the kind of way it was. Angela, just stay there for a second, because I want to try and go back to Tommy again. Maybe he's back again. Tommy, hi.
Are you Niall, all right?
Yeah, sorry, Tommy. I did go to you there a few minutes ago, but unfortunately you weren't on the other end, so I'll come back to you. So, Tommy, in relation to, you know, obviously we've seen the reports out and there's no doubt people should be compensated if they were sexually abused, but how far do you take the compensation? What about somebody that suggested physical abuse or violence? Should you be compensated?
You're talking about what's considered legal and illegal. Unfortunately, if something's legal at the time, how do you monetize someone's trauma? You know what I mean?
Mm.
Like in 20 years' time, what happens if misgendering becomes illegal? And then all of a sudden, we're all, you know what I mean?
I understand. I understand what you're saying. You know, I mean, everything that's acceptable now may not be acceptable in 30 years. Yeah.
And it's a heavy subject, and I hate to say it. It's just that I don't want victims of trauma. I don't want that they're relying on money to solve their trauma or help them with the trauma. I don't want us to come into this kind of culture of pay them to keep them quiet. I'd rather they come out and tell their story if they're strong enough so we don't repeat. That's what I want. The money thing, if someone's homeless or an alcoholic or drug addict because of what happened to them, If it was illegal, I'd have no problem giving them all the money in the world. But unfortunately, we can't just... If something's legal at the time, we can't keep going back and back and back. You know what I mean? And monetizing trauma.
Yeah, so this is you're talking in relation to physical abuse or the slaps that you would have got or the canings or all that kind of stuff, yeah.
In a car accident before seatbelts were illegal. You know what I mean?
I understand. But I do think even before 1982... Before corporal punishment was banned, and we're talking about the physical violence that teachers would have, you know, did to children, you know, there still was laws within the statute books that, you know, allowed them to hit you with a ruler or slap you on the hand. But I think, you know, it was like the laws that, you know, had, for example, if you were allowed to hit your child up to 2018, I think it was, but the law stated you were allowed to use reasonable chastisement. The law for teachers probably was the same thing, reasonable chastisement. You know, baiting somebody across the head with a T-square or, you know, making you eat chalk, as Angela said, or doing all those other humiliation tactics, that wasn't reasonable chastisement. They were animals.
Yeah. I just don't want to slip
in. And that's recent, Tommy.
I know, look, I understand. I just don't think monetizing adversity or people having to forgive and move, if they can. I believe going to therapy or returning to God even can help you with that. I think writing checks. I just think it could. What happens if you don't get money? Well, then you're going to get resentful again and re-traumatize yourself. I think we should focus on therapy. People maybe coming out and telling their story. I don't think money is the big solution. And it's sad.
To be very honest, Tommy. I don't think there's enough therapists or counselors in Ireland that could deal with the amount of people.
Well,
that's
true. I haven't been through sexual abuse, but I had a rough growing up, and I returned to God and the Bible, to be honest, and it helped me a lot. I've got to AA and I have to do a lot of stuff with support, telling my story, returning to Jesus Christ, trying to learn to forgive. I don't think just writing people checks, going back to the past in 20 years' time. What happens if abortion is illegal? Can fathers then start suing the government and say, you killed my child?
You know, no. I accept, Tommy, that, you know, returning to God and finding Jesus and all that helped for you. And I'm delighted it did work for you. But for many other people, it doesn't. Or that doesn't help, you know, because they still have those scars. And I remember speaking to a guy that he was so badly beaten in school, he hated school. And he ended up leaving school early at 14 or 15 years of age. So he lacked an education, didn't get a good job, had a profound effect on the rest of his life. Whereas if he had enjoyed school, hadn't been beaten, maybe he would have went on, did his leaving cert, and got a better job. So it had a huge effect and impact on people's lives.
Of course, but I don't think solely money is the solution. I think, to be honest with you,
it might help.
Of course it will help, but I'm just suggesting other things. That's all. I'm not criticising.
Absolutely, Tommy.
Just to clarify, by the way, before corporal punishment is banned, I'm just looking online here at the law, right? Before corporal punishment was banned in schools in Ireland, the practice of physically disciplining children was legally accepted and widespread. There was no specific law that explicitly regulated corporal punishment in schools. Rather, it was implicitly permitted under common law principles that allowed for reasonable chastisement by teachers and parents. The common law doctrine of reasonable chastisement Under common law, teachers and parents are allowed to use reasonable physical force to discipline a child. This meant that as long as the punishment was deemed reasonable and not excessive, it was legally permissible. Now, Tommy, you know as well as I do, most of the punishment that was dished out by particularly Christian Brothers wasn't reasonable and was excessive.
100%. All I'm saying is, if we wish to put out there that money, there's going to be people that are going to come out and say, oh, a PE teacher chastised me 20 years ago, called me a dunderhead. Now, that's illegal now, but 20 years ago it wasn't. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't know if it's statute of limitations, but sometimes, it's, you know what I mean? You know where I'm going. And I just, you know what I mean? We kind of have to say, there were the times.
But the thing about it is, Tommy, if there are enough people, like, let's say I know one person, right? Won't go into the details, the whole lot, that I can easily turn around and say that there are 30 people right now willing to bring a case against him because of what he did.
That's only
30 that we've spoken to. But this isn't before 82. This isn't before 92. This is well after it. And he physically abused and assaulted those kids. Should he not be held responsible?
I'd rather see him be arrested and just go after the government for a quick fix of money, if that makes sense. I think we're going to monetize people suffering. I'd rather see these men in court. I'd go to your local guard and say, look, this is what happened to me.
Go through the court system.
Listen, guys, I have to move on to other callers too. Listen, Tommy, thank you very much indeed, and I appreciate your opinion, by the way. Angela, thank you. Let me go to Gladys as well. Gladys, hi, how are you?
Yeah, hi, Niall, how are you doing?
Good, Gladys.
I'd just like to say that I think that, you know, the person who said, you know, move on, let it all go, really needs to have a bit of a head wobble, you know, because they obviously never have experienced
This is the text I got in earlier on, yeah. Declan.
Yeah. And that kind of level of attitude has stopped people coming forward in the past. But I think that what goes on, and my understanding now of the whole thing, there would have been a time that I would never have said to any living human being anything that ever happened to me. But now I am so still at my age, still full of anger of the level of injustice. And that started with my mother being in a mother and baby home. And as you well know, that the scheme now is up and running, supposedly,
I was going to say that. It's dreadfully slow. They lack communication.
Oh, my God. But not only that, though, Niall, that, you know, they're refusing, you know, as my mother has passed and justice from the grave, she died at the wrong time. And that unfortunate now, you know. She was born in the wrong place and died before Leo said sorry about that now, 1921. So there's no appeal, no nothing, no justice, no nothing. And what my mother went through, and we didn't understand it and hadn't comprehension of it, was where she constantly looked for her own mother. It's really, really sad when you think about it. Mm. And so constant nervous breakdowns. So eventually, because, you know, we ended up then in a place so my father could work. He was a good, decent human being and decent man and wanted to do the best. Well, what's never mentioned, Niall, is that women are sexual predators as well, and sexual abusers, and physical abusers. And that, when I brought that, I was not believed. I was looked at as if I was off the wall and crazy. And that's been my experience. And you live with that. And also trying to find justice. Honestly, it has been, I would say, the most traumatizing thing I've ever had to go through. Apart from the abuse, it was trying to find justice.
Yeah.
You know, eventually I was thrown under the bus with that redress system because the place I was in was not on the list.
All right.
And you were literally thrown under the bus. Goodbye, get lost. The money, you know, the lawyers made a few bob out of me. Hope they enjoyed the few stakes that they had out of it.
Yeah, but the redress system says, computer says no. And by the way, I had a big row with them recently over something, right? The redress board, which has now been set up for the victims of the mother and baby homes and the children that were born in them. And again, it was in relation to some stupid little rule they had. And I ended up shouting at this person on the phone. I said, what, computer says no, does it? You know what I mean? And it was just, it was a silly little piece of legislation. but the computer says no. And I don't want to go into too much detail.
This is designed, Niall, yeah, to do that. Mm. This is designed. This is now, you know, some guy in a back room, you know, sort of thing, like, I mean, when all of that redress system, you know, and it might be for some people, oh, that was the past. But you look what the future has brought us. Men who are women, you know what I mean, with penises. You know, like, you know, we've gone from being the most oppressed, sexually oppressive society, where they were kissing the rings of the religious and anybody who didn't, you know, do their dance or walk in their lane was treated with disdain. But what it did for me was, and I think Ian Doherty said it, or one of the guys said it, that for all of my life, children mattered. I could spot a predator a mile away. I can spot them. I can, mm-hmm, I sense them around me, you know, sort of thing like, and whatever. And that's what it does. You're always on watch. Even now, even at my age now, I'm still at watch.
Do you sorry to rush through you now, Gladys, but do you believe that compensation should be paid to, of course we believe it should be paid to people who were sexually abused or raped or whatever it was, but, you know, to those who were physically abused beyond the law, because the law says reasonable chastisement was
allowed.
And
I'll tell you why, Niall, because that's the only language they understand. When it hurts them in their pockets, that's the language they understand. This will never, if they were to give me 100,000 today, I'd say, thank you very many. But it will never heal the damage to my soul, ever. Ever. The damage to my mother, who is now gone. It will never heal that. But I would also written somewhere that this is acknowledgement of what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens to be money. And if it's so be it, you know, sort of thing from the religious, I will take it. But it's never going to happen, but I would take it in a heartbeat.
Well, stay there for a second, Gladys, if you can. Let me just go to Dave. Dave, hi, how are you? Dave, I understand how Gladys feels and why Gladys feels like that. And, you know, and many people feel the same way, that the only thing that makes them sort of listen is when it costs them money.
Well, that's it. I mean, how do you ever really change anyone's behaviour? You know, you have to hit them in the pocket. And, I mean, to be fair, in regards to the religious orders, they still own a hell of a lot of land and a hell of a lot of wealth in this country. And yet, when it comes to the redress schemes, they're, you know, they're dragging their feet big time.
No, that's what Ian said. They lawyer up. Yeah, yeah.
For sure. I mean, there was a parish in Dublin there a couple of years ago. I remember reading in the newspaper, the local priest was asking, could the parishioners put their hands deeper into their pockets in collection play time, because the poor old parish was suffering because of redress schemes. Mm. Do you know? So does that really sound like that they're taking responsibility for the damage that they've done?
But you know, but even the thought of that you're asking the parishioners to pay for the abuse they did to children, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It just
do you ever notice, like, as like groups of people, like Irish people, we tend to have a darker sense of humor than people from other parts of the world. And is it any wonder, really? Like, I mean, it's almost like our whole society is still kind of suffering from some sort of like kind of generational trauma, because There's not near a family in the country that you could find that hasn't been.
But they did the same with the mother and babies last year. It took them. I was part of obviously the campaign to get the redress set up for, you know, 8 years. I worked with many people in relation to it, because I was born in a mother and baby home. But here's the thing: it took them years and years to do it, and it was always about the money. It was always about the money. And then even up to last year, they delayed it again for another 3 or 4 months because the church were pulling their heels and they wouldn't pay any money towards it. The government ended up paying it themselves. There was hardly any money given towards it, but it was €800 million, right? And again, they turned around and said, "Oh, we can't give it to kids who were there for less than 6 months. If you were there 5 months and 29 days, you didn't get a bean. But if you were there 5 months and 30 days, you did." You know what I mean? So it was all stupid. And that still exists, by the way.
Or we'll drag it on for a few more years in the hopes that some of the people who were there just die of old age and never get the justice that they deserve.
But it's €800 million, and they were whining about it. Like, you know, we have to be careful with taxpayers' money. You know, you caused this problem. The same way as, okay, so getting back to the original question, Dave, you know, Gladys says, you know, she doesn't care how much it costs them, you know, let's hit them where it hurts. It doesn't matter if the state or the church or wherever it happens to be. Should those kids who were the victims of unnecessary violence, and I'm not talking about just sexual assault and rape, of course they should be compensated. But what about kids who just went through a traumatic childhood because teachers were animals and bet them senseless and they didn't want to go to school anymore?
Well, you're talking about taxpayers' money. I wouldn't have an issue with my taxes being used to pay into these types of schemes. And, like, I do, like, I mean, if you're someone
who was in school and you were beaten and you're left with lifelong problems, like being physical and mental, I really don't see any problem there with you, you know, getting something, be it like financial help, if you have addiction issues, help with that, therapy. But I think what we need to do, like, there's still a massive shame factor attached to all this. And like what we should do as well is give them some sort of a public forum where people can come forward and tell their stories without having to feel ashamed of what happened to them, without having to, you know, give their story, get a few pounds, and then their story is locked away in a vault somewhere. You know, we need to really, like, pull our pants up and as a society and, you know, collectively apologize to these people, not just, oh, here's a few pounds, no, go away. You know, these people need, they need to be apologized. They need,
yeah,
they need
the whole thing needs to be acknowledged. We need more acknowledgement. And I think that's what Gladys is talking about, is acknowledgement. Because there's this kind of thing, it's like Ireland's little dirty secrets. We've loads of little dirty secrets, haven't we?
And how many, like, how many governments and, like, religious orders and schools and scouts and all that have tried to bury these stories? Like, it's not comfortable. And this might not sound like a popular thing to say, but lay people who lived during those same times should also feel a sense of shame as well. Because I hate this thing. I hate the thing when people say, like, oh, but sure, it was a done thing. Sure, children were better. I have brothers who went to school in the 70s, and a teacher raised his hand to one of them. And my father marched up to the school and told the teacher if he ever laid a hand on any of his kids again, he'd break his neck. You know what I mean? So this idea that people were just like, oh, but sure, it was a done thing. We know it's not right to beat a child, you know? And there's a difference between, like, a rap in the knuckles with a ruler is an awful thing. But everybody knows that, like, beating a child to within an inch of their life, or leave them with physical scars and emotional trauma that they're going to be dealing with throughout their whole life while these people get off scot-free, is wrong. Mm-hmm. And I don't care what age you lived in. We all know that.
Okay, but stay there for a second. Let me just go to Joseph as well. Joseph, hi, how are you?
I don't know. Can you hear me loud and clear?
I can, yeah. Joseph, is redress the answer, you know, when it comes to even the physical violence?
Well, let me ask you this question, right? So here we are now, 2024. And this has all come out. This is all public knowledge. And, you know, mass attendance has collapsed. And are we better off? I mean, is there still no child sexual abuse going on in the country?
Well, there is. Like, I'm assuming there is.
I would say there most definitely
but
is.
Not, but I don't believe it's happening on the scale that it would have been happening in the 1970s by the religious orders.
Yeah, we don't know that now, but I feel a fair guess. There's still a lot of it going on because, you know, there's thousands of kids missing and unaccounted for in state care at the moment.
Yeah,
yeah, and we know that there's huge amounts of, you know, the in the asylum centres they have. There's a lot of the minors or kids and women all being sexually abused. So it's quite possible that in another 20, 30 years, these people are filing claims against the state as well, saying, you know, there was horrible sexual abuse. So We haven't really addressed the problem of, look, there are child predators out there. There are horrible, beastly, like, disgusting people who do inhumane things. And they will always seek to get into any institution that gives them control or access to children. Mm. So we're going to have the same problem again. And like, I do think that everyone who was abused, everyone who was traumatized by it, has their story told, is understood, is told, look, we acknowledge there was fault, this should never have happened. We have to see how it happened. Our main goal here should be to make sure it never happens again, because what we're doing is we're in a situation where we might be in the middle of another sexual assault or sexual abuse pandemic where it's happening all around us. And most people will say, oh, no, that wasn't happening. I didn't know about it, or no one told me. That's what I think we're in right now.
Yeah, but all I'd say to you was, your phone is echoing back. There was different times, Joseph. You know, I mean, if we go back to the 1970s, people knew, I mean, including parents, by the way, and I addressed this with Ian Doherty earlier on. My dad would turn around to myself and my brother if we were bold, and he'd say, I'll send you down to Artane School if you keep being bold. So even parents knew there was dodgy stuff going on in schools.
I think they had an idea that the kids would get, you know, a rap on the knuckle or a slap on the head. I mean, no one would say, oh, you send my kid down there to be raped by a priest. I don't think any parent at any time says, yeah, that's, you know, my son deserved it. He was a bit bold, you know.
No, but I just know, in relation to what you said previously, Joseph, I don't think you can compare the misgivings that's happening now compared to the misgivings in the 1970s. When it comes to, say, what's happening in direct provision, when it comes to happening within Tusla, yes, they should be investigated and it should be found out exactly what's going on and those children should be protected. But there's massive amounts of rules and regulations now about sporting clubs, football clubs, schools, you know, health and safety regulations and protection regulations for children that we didn't have back in the 1970s. So I doubt we're going to get the same epidemic that you're talking about again.
No, we might not. You have to understand, we're at the end of a process that's been happening. So what was happening in the 70s, you have to see, okay, what these priests, what was their childhood like when they were growing up in the, what would it be, 40s, 30s maybe, and, you know, what would life have been like even 30 years before that? So, yeah, the process of how we treat kids, how we, what kind of authority figures are allowed to do or accepted, that's changing all the time. That is evolving. And I'm glad it's from, you know, beastly, horrible, inhumane stuff that was going on, and okay, they really didn't seem to have a care for kids.
Okay. But it's becoming... sorry, Justin Rushy, but should they be compensated? Do you believe, now leaving aside the sexual abuse, of course, and rape of children, of course they should be compensated. But those who were, you know, experienced violence, I'm not just talking about a slap on the hand and six of the best with a small ruler. I'm talking about where teachers went over the top. Do you believe they should be compensated?
I believe they should be compensated, but maybe not with cash. Maybe like one of the previous callers in there, cash isn't the best thing for them. They might not be happy with the amount they get. They might not be happy with how long it took to pay out. They might not be happy with, you know, they have to go through the courts and relive the whole experience.
No, they don't. If it's redress, you don't. It's a set amount of money and it's given by, you know, a redress scheme. So nobody ends up going to court. It's just done through a formality.
Well, yeah, they can have a formality if they want, you know, some token amount of money, right? But I don't think that's going to address the problem. What they want is everyone responsible, everyone who did it, everyone who knew about it, everyone who concealed it. They have to be drawn out, publicly named, publicly humiliated, and said, this is the type of behavior we do not accept in society. And I think that's what they emotionally need to heal, is that this is society is turning completely against us and will never let it happen again.
Okay, listen, thank you, Joseph, for that. I'm sorry I'm going to have to rush people here now because we're running out of time. Norman, hi, how are you?
Hello, Niall. How are things?
Good. Norman, getting back to the original question, we all, you know, have a sense of regret as to what happened, particularly when it comes to sexual and abuse and rape. But when it comes to the physical abuse, we kind of accepted it at the time. I mean, I don't know whether you did or not, but many people in society believed that was the way it was. Should those people be compensated now? You know, when teachers went over above and beyond excessive violence?
Well, I think it wasn't just the violence. It was the humiliation in front of a class, of a person.
Yeah.
So obviously, those people should be helped, be it with therapy or be it with recognition of an apology. Financially, I mean, they should be given a free medical card, free transport, things like that. Financially, I don't know. There was some time ago, remember the support for survivors of residential abuse? Mm-hmm. There was a scheme there a few years back. And that was really badly mismanaged. People who applied straight away got like over 100,000. And people who came in to the end were... there was only like 5,000 or 10,000 for them because it was so badly mismanaged.
When all of these redress, I'm going to be honest with you, all of these redress schemes are so badly mismanaged. And I know because I'm currently using one at the moment, but they're all badly mismanaged.
Yeah. And same with the mother's baby's home.
It's a disaster. The staff don't even communicate with each other.
No,
you know, and one person will send you one email saying one thing and somebody else sends you a message saying something completely contradictory. So they haven't a clue what they're doing.
The people who the survivors, they gave a testimony of what they experienced in the faith that it would be written down and recorded. And then when they went back and looked at what there was written down, it was totally different than what they had said to the people.
Mm, that's right, I remember
Yeah. So, I mean, even that wasn't done properly. I mean, that to them was a huge insult. I mean, imagine being in a mother and baby's home and you've gone through that trauma and experience. And you only
to be misquoted and your story be misrepresented. Yep.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So if we can even get that right, what are we talking about? Redress screams. I mean, it's just a laugh.
Yeah.
You know, you saw that thing with the bike in 300,000, 35,000.
Yeah.
For a glorified
bike site.
Yeah. It doesn't even protect the bike.
By the way, I I mean, the Green Party are now giving out saying, why are people blaming them? Because they're in government and they should know about these things. People are blaming them. They're blaming the government and the Green Party, but they're the ones who keep pushing the bikes all the time. Anyway, in relation to the bike shed, I don't want to go off the topic, but somebody has to be responsible for that. Whoever signed off on that should lose their job.
Crazy. Yeah. Crazy stuff.
Anybody who thought it was okay to sign a piece of paper to say the tender for the OPW or whoever the OPW is using, I don't know if they use a third-party contract, I don't know, for $335,000 for a bike shed for 18 bikes.
Yeah, 20,000 per bike, nearly. It's 18,600
Unless the bikes are gold-plated. You know, you build a four-bedroom house for that money. I mean, look, I'm not even going to get into that. Yeah. But whoever signed off on it, and by the way, you know, the government are kind of delighted all the time when there's news out to distract from things like that. We need to get back to that story again next week. But it, you know, whoever signed off on it, it needs to be investigated. Whoever signed off on it should lose their job.
And Eamon Ryan, he's ultimately responsible. The book stops with him.
Well, the book stops with all three of them. You know, with Simon Harris, Micheál Martin, and Eamon Ryan. Yeah, because they're head of cabinet. Okay, Norman, sorry, getting back to... So you believe there should be compensation as long as it's done properly? Yeah.
As long as it's done properly. And I think it's not just money. It's more about a recognition of a proper apology, maybe therapy sessions, things like, you know, free medical card, free transport or something.
That goes without you're right about the medical card. That goes without saying. They should have a free medical card and free access to, you know, support groups and therapy or whatever it is they need, psychology or psychiatrists or whatever it happens to be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, Norman. Let me go to Jackie. Jackie, hi, how are you?
Great. Now, and I agree there should be free medical cards. Definitely. The whole compensation thing is a difficult one. Of how to decide what everyone gets. And as you know yourself, it never ends up being rolled out in time or there's always be going to be a problem. But definitely free medical.
Now, the other thing is, I mean, a medical card is great. Mind you, in Ireland, if you can actually get an appointment to see somebody, a medical card is great. So maybe, you know, with the money, they can use private counsellors or whatever it is would be better. But because, you know, I know, for example, with the redress for the mother and baby homes, you get a free medical card. But in saying that, the money is better for people because they can organise private counselling. Because, you know, if you're looking for public counselling on a public health service, you'll be waiting a couple of years for that. You'll be dead by the time you get that. But Jackie, you believe they should be compensated a standard amount of money, maybe? I don't know.
That's a difficult one. I don't know where to work. Because as your last, listening to the last couple of callers, it's how do you, you know, because everyone has been affected differently and has suffered over the years, you know, either to a good or worse extent. So it's very hard to put money on that. Would you kind of go, okay, I'm getting 10,000. Well, geez, I suffered all my life. Surely
I should get more. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know. So
that's always the way with redress, Jackie. That's always the way with redress schemes. For example, you know that it's a standard amount, and the same went for the Magdalene Andre's mother and baby and everything else. It's a standard amount of money, and yes, some people suffered more than others, but there has to be a line in the sand where you say there's a standard amount. You know, that's just it. Now, by the way, if people want to take it further, and there's a whole argument going on at the moment, I think it's in the High Court this week, by the way, in relation to the mother and baby home, that they're getting people to sign an NDA and a waiver that once we give you your 15 grand or whatever it is that they give you, right, that you then can take a case against the state and you have to sign a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Now, there's a High Court case going on at the moment, this week, I think, in relation to that they shouldn't be telling people to sign it. You know, there should be no signing of anything. You know what I mean? That's okay. There's your 15 grand. But if you want to take case to the High Court, you can. If you want to think you can get more, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, maybe if there was something in a way that where there was a certain amount of money and then you get other benefits as well.
Mm. Yeah.
And that and okay, it was across the board and that. But again, you know, trying to prove, you know, how much. You know, someone has suffered, and what amount of money then should, you know, will money?
Well, see, yeah, you're right.
Oh no!
And people say, "Will money heal the wounds?" It doesn't. You know what I mean? But in saying that, You know, if somebody's 70 years of age and they get, you know, 15 or 20,000 euro and they can have a nice little cruise, you know, for 3 or 4 weeks and spend the money, or I don't know, it brings a smile to their face. Maybe it helps. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But again, the question goes back to the how this was allowed to happen and how it became so prominent across the church. And now, okay, we're looking at the Catholic Church, but, you know, what about the Church of Ireland?
Oh, yeah, well, no, they all have to be. I think they all have to be investigated now. They're all, I mean,
oh, yeah.
let's just blame the Catholic Church. It's, you know, a lot of the religious institutions. Jackie, listen, thank you very much indeed. And I appreciate everybody who came on the air today. Thank you very much. And by the way, to Tom, who I spoke to at the start of the show, who was a victim or a survivor of sexual abuse in school. I will get back to Tom and I will do something longer with him. Some of the text and messages coming in. Hi, Niall, apologies, I can't come on today. I'm tied up. But I would like to say that I've read the news. I have a son that actually attends the Holy Family School in Renmore, Galway, which is over 100 allegations against 40 employees. I feel sick to my stomach. This could ever happen to any child in our world, in our school. This particular school in question, many of these children are wheelchair bound, nonverbal, and extremely vulnerable. To think that these children would have been able to try to resist or to have any way of communication, to yell, help, or the opportunity to tell. Also, the fact that the last known case was as little as 2013, only 11 years ago, is quite harrowing. Also, I'd like to point out that the Benedictine nuns, who were mentioned numerous times as the group of nuns involved in the scandal who either instigated, partied, or turned a blind eye. This is the very same group of nuns who are now being homed in the state-of-the-art millions of euro new building in the grounds of Calmore Abbey. The visitors who pay in and donate, and also people, the people of the state who are paying for this group of old nuns, whom I'm sure are still alive today, who are involved, for them it's a life of luxury. Why is that? Why should they be supported? That comes in from Joe on WhatsApp. Dave says, "Whether I think if it can be proved that a person was abused, then yes, they should be given some form of redress, and the perpetrators, if still alive, should face some sort of legal repercussions. I think the church did something, did some severe crimes due to the power it had as an institution. But overall, if you look at the now versus then, the HSE alone is paying out what the church was fined within one decade. And that's the state's largest employer. And doctors today are leading occupations, are the leading occupation for suicides. So the health system is as corrupt as the church was, and falling just like it." That comes in from Eddie. All right, loads and loads of messages, by the way, coming in. Oh, there's another one here. I need to read this now. Hi, Niall. I'm responding to your question about physical abuse only. I think you're flogging a dead horse, if you'd pardon the pun, by suggesting redress. As Ian said, how could you prove that one type of corporal punishment crossed the imaginary line? Well, it wasn't an imaginary line. Anyway, because I read out the law to you earlier on. And how can you possibly go back and identify all the teachers who doled it out? It was the norm. Terrible and all as it was, they weren't breaking the law. It was socially acceptable. The motto was spare the rod and spoil the child. I was slapped in primary school, but not brutally. I received far worse hidings at home. They were terrified by my father, believed he was doing the right thing. However, verbal abuse and mental cruelty from one lay teacher had far greater effect on me and other classmates than any corporal punishment. Those wounds are far deeper and never healed for some poor kids. Having said that, there was often a lot of humiliation involved in some physical beatings, which compounded the pain. The best thing the state could do is to provide free counselling for all those who never recovered. That comes in from the Galway girl. I understand. But in saying that, you said, you know, the kind of imaginary line. It really wasn't an imaginary line. You know, bringing a kid up to the front of the class, holding out their hand and giving them six slaps with a small ruler. Okay, I'll accept that was the norm. And that was probably acceptable under the law, because the law said reasonable chastisement. Making them stand in the corner, maybe reasonable chastisement. Giving out to them, reasonable chastisement. Beating them with a T-square, or grabbing them by the ear and pulling them around the class, or slapping them across the face, or and doing it regularly and picking on individual students on a regular basis, wasn't reasonable chastisement. So there was a law there. Some people think there wasn't a law. There was actually a law. And the law was the same law for parents and for teachers, which was reasonable chastisement. Anything beyond that was physical assault, which was always already illegal as well. Anyway, thank you to everybody who got involved in the show. It's terrible to hear. It's distressing to hear. And because it brings back a lot of memories for me in my childhood in school. I went to Christian Brothers, as I said, I went to De La Salle College, Raheny. And some of the Christian Brothers were complete bastards. I mean, they were animals. Complete animals. One or two of them were okay. Some of the lay teachers, by the way, were animals as well, can I point out. I mean, they were just horrible, horrible people. I can mention their names now because I'm the one mentioning their names. And I'll take the risk. They're dead anyway. Brother Canis was one guy. He was an animal. He used to slap you across the face. He'd grab you by the lock of your hair. He'd drag you around the class. Brother Anthony would stick his tongue out like that and make the fist as he was hitting you. I always remember his tongue sticking out. That's how angry he was all the time and how horrible he was. He would stick his tongue out when he was going to bait you and he'd have his fist clenched tight. You would nearly see his fist go blue because the circulation would be stopping it. He had it so tight as he was punching you. I don't know whether they're still alive. I'm to be honest with you, I hope they're dead. Because they were nasty individuals. So I don't have a huge amount of sympathy for them. Anyway, thank you to everybody who got involved in the show today. We really, really appreciate it. It was a very interesting show. Very difficult for some people probably to listen to too. Please support us to support you. Give you a voice. We're giving everybody a voice. We want to give everybody a voice. And we will go into this in much more detail in a much longer show. I know there are so many people who want to come on today and talk about their own experiences. So please support us to support you. The only way we can do that is we don't have advertising is by you subscribing. That's the only way. So please go on. You can subscribe for $5.99 on our website. That's once a month. It's the price of a cup of coffee. The three of us work on the show. We'll share the cup of coffee. All we need every month is enough money to pay the bills. We don't get it. We always end up having to put our own hand in our pocket. But we just need enough money to pay the bills. If you can subscribe, that's great. You can subscribe yearly, that's even better. Or if you can donate, please do. Go to the website, click the donate button, and just donate a fiver, a tenner, 20, whatever it is. Do it now. Don't wait later. Because we're already suffering this month, and we need the money. So please do it now. Go to our website, nileboylan.com, and help us to support you to have this platform every single day where you're uncensored. You won't get it anywhere else. Please support us. NileBoylan.com. You can go on there now. You can donate or you can subscribe. If every one of you listening live right now on Twitter and Facebook and the website, by the way, you're all listening live now. If you all supported us and gave us a small amount of money, we would never have to ask. So please. We have some great interviews, by the way, coming soon. And some of those interviews won't, or most of them, won't go out live on the show. The only way you'll be able to see them is by going onto a website and subscribing. Some really amazing interviews. And there's a lot of interviews on the website that have never gone out live that you can watch on the website. So if you subscribe, you can go back through them all for the last 274 episodes. And also there's about 20 or 30 interviews there as well from people that we have never put the interviews up online. So they're exclusive to the website. So please support us, nileboylan.com. I shall talk to you again tomorrow at the usual time, 12. Until then, have a great day.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.